All right. We are going to progress in our study tonight, we trust, of the larger catechism, question and answer number 193. We have been away from our study now for a couple of weeks, and so we are coming back to that question, and we will go over it once more, not all the way through, just to a point, and I will wave my hand. So we will not finish the whole thing tonight. Okay, the question 193, what do we pray for in the fourth petition? In the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, acknowledging that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God and to have them cursed to us in the use of them, and that neither they of themselves are able to sustain us, nor we to merit or by our own industry to procure them, but prone to desire, get, and use them unlawfully. Let's stop right there. Unlawfully. There we have it. And it is that particular last section that we are going to think on tonight. But prone to desire, to get, and to use them unlawfully. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. Know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Now, I want us to notice in this section in particular how this is all personalized and fitted to us as individual professing Christians, so that we are enabled to make thoughtful application of the scripture truth to ourselves, to bring it into real contact with our living. Notice the use of the singular, and especially the plural pronouns. Let's look at them for a moment. In the question, number 193, what do we pray for in the fourth petition? In the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, acknowledging that in Adam and by our own sin. Now, we are certainly familiar with the plural first person pronoun we and the possessive pronoun our, but own is itself a pronoun, generally singular, but in the usage here is a plural. We have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life, deserved to have them, to be wholly deprived, be deprived of them, and to have them cursed to us in the use of them, that neither they themselves are able to sustain us, nor we to merit, or by our own industry to procure them. So based upon the context of this answer, I say with these words, but we are prone to desire, the sense is there, to get and to use them unlawfully. Since we have done quite a study of the law of God, both in the shorter catechism and in the larger catechism, I want to make much reference to the law in this tonight, because we are prone to use the things that God gives us in an unlawful manner. And as Brother Jerry was leading us in the review of the seventh commandment, we see the importance of God's law in relation to our neighbor, especially beginning with the fifth commandment, all having relations to our neighbors. So we're praying, and when we're praying, we are to always remember that we are to pray for our neighbors as we pray for ourselves. I confess that so much of my life, I have had it all wrong. You know, we learned in Sunday school and in the other children's classes, I'm sure so many of you can testify, you learned the word joy. And we had it in the form of Jesus, others, and you. We had to put ourselves, you, last. But of course, our natural tendency and our usual practice is to put ourselves first. And then, you know, maybe we could relegate a little of our income to Jesus. But our lives are not consumed with Him. God is not the consuming factor in our lives. Generally speaking, that's not the way that we have lived. It's especially me. So we could turn the word around, if, you know, to be honest, that we do so much for ourselves, maybe a little bit for Jesus, and then sometimes, on those rare occasions, we think of others. And I have to confess that so much of my life I've had it all wrong. The use of the plural pronouns here, the use is to help us to keep in mind that we are always praying not for our selfish selves only. But normally, you know, if we're going to pray, we pray for me and mine especially. We are not just to pray for our own selfish selves, but always including our neighbors with ourselves in all of these things. All of these matters that we're dealing with in this prayer are to include prayers for our neighbors. This is extremely difficult because by nature we are very self-centered sinners. Let's look back in our shorter catechism. You probably still have one there close by. Look back at number 42. Number 42, what is the sum of the Ten Commandments? You can say it with me if you want to. The sum of the Ten Commandments is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. That's not a new revelation. Jesus was quoting Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, for there the people of God that we hear so much, well, oh, that was the old Bible. That was the law. You know, that's all gone now. No, it was love. Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So it's okay to love yourself, but be sure that you are loving your neighbor with an equal love in loving ourselves. Maybe, just maybe, some of us, as we're growing, we're maybe seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, that we're beginning to not quite be as enamored with ourselves as we were when we came into the world. I mean, if there's anybody great on the face of the planet Earth, it's me, right? Whenever we come into the world is all about us. You know, here we are, all these adult kids, people standing around this little baby, and wow, the world is just revolving around us, you know? Well, that's generally the way we look at life. But we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. So Jesus said in this these verses here in Matthew that on these two commandments of loving God supremely and then loving our neighbors equally with ourselves, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's what the Old Testament's all about. Loving God and loving our neighbor like ourselves. I didn't get it. I had never gotten this. It was never really inculcated into my way of thinking coming up, even in a Christian church. That we are to be taken up with the Lord supremely and to be loving others just like we love ourselves. I didn't get it. Please, maybe you got it, but I didn't get it. I'm sorry. Now, let's look at number 69 in our shorter catechism. Number 69, I wanted just to look at a few of these because it is really convicting. Number 69. What is forbidden in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment forbiddeth the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbor unjustly, or whatsoever tendeth thereunto. What if our neighbor has nothing to eat? Then that would certainly tend thereunto. Okay, let's look at number 71. Number 71, what is required in the seventh commandment? Let's say that. The seventh commandment requireth the preservation of our own and our neighbor's chastity in heart, speech, and behavior. Wow! I have some responsibility toward my neighbor's chastity as well as my own. Wow. What a revelation. And then number 75. What is forbidden in the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment forbiddeth whatsoever doth or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbor's wealth or outward estate. Okay. Wow. All right, so I am to be praying for my neighbor when I'm praying for myself. I'm to be praying that the Lord will supply for my neighbor as well as for me. And I'm praying, give us this day our daily bread. So easy to sit at the table and just think about just us right here. We're good. Oh my, how selfish we are. Number 78. What is forbidden in the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment forbiddeth whatsoever is prejudicial to truth or injurious to our own or our neighbor's good name. We are to be thinking about our neighbor in all these things. Because here hangs all the law and the prophets. One more, just. Number 80. What is required in the 10th commandment? Let's say this one together. The 10th commandment requireth full contentment with our own condition, with a right and charitable frame of spirit toward our neighbor and all that is his. Wow. So we're asking God, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I'm not just asking Him for food. I'm asking Him for clothing. I'm asking Him for shelter. I'm asking Him for all things that are necessary for life and for godliness. And I need to pray this for my neighbor. What neighbor? All these neighbors. Our brethren? Yeah. But all these others around us. Let's pray for them. And pray for our brethren across the earth. Have you got time to pray some? Have you got time to pray for lots of folks? I mean, God wants to be praying for a lot of people. You know, a lot of neighbors. We got neighbors around us, but we also have our brethren, neighbors in the world. Okay. We are prone, okay? What does that mean? In the dictionary, prone. We have a natural bent. We are inclined naturally in our desire toward covetousness. Ooh. Here we are. We are prone to desire. Here is our scripture text under this. All right, here it is. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Give me some more. I mean, we got the gimmies. You know, the kids, when they go to the store, you know, when you walk by the checkout counter and they got all this stuff to tempt the kids with, and they got the gimmies, gimme. Yeah, we all got the gimmies. Okay. Everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Oh, the spiritual leaders got the gimmies. We don't just say that about the evangelists on television with the gold chains around their neck, with the gold ring on every finger and all that, but given over to covetousness. Let's read the rest of it right here. Mark 7:21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit. And it goes on. But that covetousness, it is about me and my desires, what I want, what I need. That is a very sad experience of so many married couples that have great difficulties in their marriage. My needs aren't being met. My needs. It's about me. Don't you understand? Life is about me. That's what covetousness is. And it's so easy for us to be consumed this way. Okay. Now, but we are prone to desire. We are prone to lust and to covet. And then to get things. Okay. Hosea 12 and verse 7. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. It's very easy to put ourselves forward. Oh, my. And even to oppress others. James chapter 4 and verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. James has just got through saying, one of the reasons you don't have is because you don't ask. And another reason you don't have what you pray for is because you ask with the wrong motives, that you might just consume it itself. But have we ever learned to think outside of the self box? That's what this is leading us to. We are taught that it is our duty to care for our neighbor's good and for his wealth, just as we do our own, in all fairness. So that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are to remember that we are not to pray just for me and mine, but also for God to supply for our neighbors as well. To fail to do so is to act prejudicially to our neighbor's wealth. It is, in a sense, stealing by not praying for our neighbor, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Hey, okay, preacher, get off of this box. You've been on this long enough. Yes, well, all right. Well, we have in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28 the instruction given to the Christian who once lived as a thief before being brought savingly to Christ. The scripture, Ephesians 4:28, says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor with his hands the thing that is good. Why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. Okay. That's very good. Him that needeth. And here, let's turn to 1 John. This is so wonderful. Praise God for His Word. 1 John chapter 1, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I love this. I have my Greek students, the third year students, translate through the epistle of 1 John. And I love to hear them reciting the verses in Greek and in English. And it's so wonderful. Listen, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. What is love? Because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. When Andy came to me the other day, this was the burden on his heart. This very thing right here. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, that is, those inner sympathies from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Oh, yeah, man, we really love God. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This really spoke to my heart. And I get excited when the Lord speaks to my heart. And I hope you get excited about it. Well, I want to share with you what Johannes Voss says about it. And Brother Moorcraft says about, and then I'll shut up, okay? All right. Brother Voss, he does the larger catechism in questions, which is really good. All right, why do we tend to desire and get and use earthly blessings unlawfully? Answer, because of our sinful hearts. There you are, preacher, you're on it again. Boy, you really talk about sin. All right, because of our sinful hearts, which cause us to commit sin in thought, word, and deed every day of our lives. Even born-again Christians are not perfectly sanctified in this life and must always contend or fight against the sinful lusts and temptations which lurk in their hearts and which, if unchecked, will lead them into gross sins. Okay, now that's all of Brother Voss. Brother Moorcraft has a little more to say about this. Okay, so he quotes from the passage, Jeremiah chapter 6, that we were in a moment ago. God's severe treatment of His covenant people in the Old Testament ought not to seem strange or overbearing to us because of the contempt for God, along with every other kind of evil. It permeated every level and every rank of the entire national community. Everyone, from the most powerful to the most disadvantaged, literally covetousness. That's what the Hebrew says right there. Covetousness. Are addicted to coveting and greedy for gain. Even the prophets and the priests were so addicted to coveting material possession that everyone deals falsely to get what they want. Were it not for the grace of God, all of us would be dominated by the evil desire to obtain material wealth and power, and we could seek to obtain those things by whatever way accomplishes our purposes, regardless of its morality or immorality. Wow. Brother Moorcraft goes on a couple more paragraphs. Some people will stop at nothing and be however deceitful they need to be to exert oppressive power and control over other people because they love to oppress others. They love the sense of power. They love the advantage over them that enables them to profit from them and so satisfy their hunger for wealth and power. Whatever outward blessings of life they may have, they get them unlawfully. That is, in total disregard to two matters, to justice and to compassion. James earlier informed his readers in chapter 4 that they often lack things they need to live simply because of an attitude of self-sufficiency and failure to ask God to give them what they need. But now, in this verse that we read a few moments ago, ye ask and have not because ye ask amiss so that you may consume it upon your lusts. Okay. But now he is warning them by explaining that the reason they ask for what they need from God and still do not receive those things is precisely because they have ungodly motives and they would use those blessings in an ungodly way because you ask with the wrong motives so that you may spend it on your own lusts. Their requests were legitimate, but the reason for making them was illegitimate. They wanted only to satisfy their own cravings, pamper their own passions. God's glory. Here it is. He's putting a nail on right here. God's glory, God's service, and consideration for other people do not enter into the equation. These things do not enter in to their thinking. Such prayers are an insult to God. If we only pray our prayers selfishly for me and mine, and we are not praying the same way for our neighbors. I want to say something to y'all. This is a revelation to me. It's amazing because before we studied the catechisms, I have to say, and before we studied the larger catechism, I never got it. But I'm starting to get it now. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to sing about our proneness as we come to a close tonight. We know here that we are prone to desire to get and to use what we ask God for unlawfully. Not according to the law of God, of Him being supreme, and our neighbor always being on an equal plane with us. May God help us.